Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Stephanie Oz is the daughter of Dr. Mehmet Oz. She's the co-host of the ABC TV show, The Chew. She's the best-selling author of The Dorm Room Diet, and her new book is called Relish and Adventure in Food, Style, and Everyday Fun, published by William Morrow Publishers. That's a division of HarperCollins. Well, thanks for coming on. I'd be wanting to know, how has The Chew been able to hang in there after, what, 58 years of, on the air of All My Children? You guys doing pretty well?
Well, thanks for having me. And you know, it's been fun for us. It's been the last 2 years. Now we're wrapping up our second season. And we just feel very, very lucky to be able to chat every day with not only each other, there are five of us on the panel. It's myself, Mara Pauley, Clinton Kelly, Carla Hall, and Michael Simon. But more and more, we're able to actually get new audience. And also, some of those All My Children fans, they're now tuning in and seeing that they actually are enjoying spending the afternoon with our family and having a little fun and eating some good food while they're at it, which is great. That's what we can hope for.
I admit I was a little depressed when All My Children went off the air, but I gave the Chew. You got to give a show, like, say, a couple of months, and I got to say that, you know, it's on, and I like it, and you're doing a great job. So welcome to the show. Here's Dr. Mike.
Daphne, hi. The relish I look at as and what you're doing seems to be a modern day Martha Stewart. It's a wonderful book and some great insights.
I thank you for saying that. That's very generous of you. It's funny. It's relish for me was sort of the evolution of my philosophy on food, which is that, you know, if I want it to be something that I stick with long term in a healthy way, and I want health to be my priority, I still have to make delicious my priority. I still have to make it fun and easy and affordable and convenient and delicious and beautiful. And that, for me, you know, was my philosophy about food when I was looking to lose weight in college, and that's sort of what I talked about with Dorm Room Diet. And with relish, I wanted to take that same idea of, like, let's make this better life in reach by making things that are, by discovering these really simple tips and tricks that can make it possible for people who are kind of trying to do a bunch of other things too. You know, this focus on self-improvement isn't that helpful if it requires your entire life to make it happen and you drive yourself crazy with this epic struggle to get there. I really wanted the kind of easy, fun, simple way to improve my food, improve my style and my home, my wardrobe, improve my relationships with my family, my friends, and my husband, and then improve my career and my playtime, my fun, my travel, my time away that feeds my soul. And that's really what relish was all about.
Now, you talk, I'm going to go through a number of areas that you talk about because I had so much fun with the book. And part of it is because I know you, at least from partially from the time with Mehmet and at your house. So let me ask you, when you left Princeton, you graduated from Princeton, you then had an apartment in New York City, and you had a simple wooden table that you tell the story about you got rid of 2 months early after you moved in with John, but before you guys had a permanent kitchen table. There's an important lesson there, you told us.
Yes. You know, I talk about in the book, and that lesson sort of comes up in one of the, I have a section of the book called The Hip Homemaker, which for me was sort of this idea that your home should take care of you. And I had spent a lot of time living in what I called white box apartments, kind of insane asylum situations, where I didn't feel, and a lot of people go through this, you know, you don't feel like you're going to be in a place long term. What's the point in investing time, money, effort in decorating it, making it feel like your space? And the reality is, no matter how long you're spending in a place, it is a certain period of time. For me, it was 2 years living in an apartment that didn't feel specific to me. And so my commitment to really going forward now in every space that, you know, John and I are in an apartment together, my husband, and, you know, making sure that space not only looks like us, it has our personality stamped on it, but feels like it takes care of us in that way, was really important to me. And I had to realize, you know, I'm a kind of all or nothing person by nature. And I realized that I was stopping myself from having the inspiration to get my decorating going in a very sort of convenient, affordable, practical way. Because I thought I had to wait until I had everything figured out. I could do the entire house over, this, up, the other. And that just, that desire to do it all rather than seeing it as a process and that it's something you collect and sort of curate over time, have fun with, was stopping me from getting to where I wanted to be, which was a home that felt like my own. And the kitchen table story is a great one because, look, I work in food. I love to cook. I love to eat. Sharing that homemade meal with my friends, my family, was so sort of how I showed love. And when I didn't have, I physically didn't have, like, a space to eat on, we were hovering over the kitchen counter sort of noshing on little, like, antipasti things out of their refrigerator every night for dinner, or eating on the floor, Bedouin style, which is romantic for about three meals, and then it gets kind of weird. I realized that I really needed that locus, that place of sort of this is where we come together as a family to eat and to convene and to share the day together. And, what I ended up doing was buying a really cheap, like, $40 table on Amazon, having it shipped to me. And even though it wasn't the end-all, be-all, it wasn't the table I was going to have forever, it was the one that actually grounded our home in the interim. And the lesson for me was don't worry about perfection. I mean, you mentioned before, you know, the idea that this is a lifestyle guide, and it really is, but the goal is never perfection. The goal is to get better, and the goal is to live it more fully, live this moment more fully, and not worry about the next step and the next step and the next step.
And one of the other things you state is about a square table and the value of a square table, that you look at one another. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, when I was growing up, my mom had bought this giant round table. It was very King Arthur and the knights, and his knights. And there are, you know, there's six of us in my family, but there certainly weren't enough for a 10-foot diameter table. And what it ended up creating was this awkward, like, divide between the family, or too much space. We needed a lazy Susan to get just the meal around to each other, or we had to stand up to pass everything. It was just too large, and it didn't fit the space, and it didn't make for a really communal convening at the end of the day where you could share conversation easily. We had to, like, yell to get to one another. So she eventually got back to a rectangular table that I really prefer. And I find that it's a great way to seat a bunch of people because you can always sort of squeeze different people along each side. We always had a bench along one side, which is also great because it's very casual and informal, but obviously you can have tons of chairs. But the best part about it is that you maintain decently narrow distance between the person across the table from you, and you can see everyone, you can engage everyone, which I think is a very a wholesome plan to be able to share what the family meal is all about, which is giving you a grounded center to come back to.
Now, one of the questions we get from our email line, anyone can ask us questions, udocs@gmail.com. One of the questions we got for you when we tweeted in advance that you were on the show was, how do I do this? I've got two small kids. How do I try and relish everything? Or can I just watch them and relish that? How do I make the time to do better than I'm doing now?
I think that's a totally valid question, and that I don't know what her name is, but that's exactly the woman I was writing this book for, because it's the woman that I plan to be one day. You know, John and I don't have kids, but what I realized is that I'm never going to have less going on in my life than I have right now. And you go through your days prioritizing and expending time and energy on the things that matter to you, but it's become very easy to waste time, I found in my own life, doing things that don't necessarily matter to you, but that by like habit and just by laziness almost becomes the easiest route. So checking your Twitter stream every 10 minutes, going on Facebook, doing your online sort of perusing and you know, for lack of a better word, stalking of various websites, etc. And if you think about all the time that you spend collectively over the course of a day that doesn't end up being productive, helping you, forces you to live on somebody else's totem pole because you're constantly evaluating your life against somebody else's and all the beautiful Instagram pictures they have showing them and their fabulous friend, this, that, the other, I realized that I was really damaging myself by not prioritizing the things that would feed me and make more of a positive impact in my life. And I think, you know, when you have little kids, live that moment, love that moment, because that time will go so fast. But prioritize.
We'll be right back, Daphne. The book is Relish. The website, www.daphneoz.com. We'll be right back with more on the book Relish.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Stephanie Oz, co-host of the ABC show The Chew and the author of Relish and Adventure in Food, Style, and Everyday Fun. Here again, Dr. Mike Royson.
Daphne, in here you talk about, and by the way, I should say the book is Relish. That's the title, and www.daphneoz.com is a website. You can see more of the information. There are 50 recipes. I should tell you, I did make one myself last night, which is the cauliflower, roasted cauliflower, but I skipped the cheese and used jalapeno. But I just made the what I would call the healthy parts of this, and it was delicious.
Oh, good. So, well, that's wonderful.
So you can modify these, and you've got, for instance, a grilled vegan Caesar salad in there. I mean, there are a lot of absolutely wonderful things in here. Quinoa with chickpeas, currants, and fried shallots. So there's a lot of really great and healthy recipes in here. But one of the things you do in here, it seems like, as you're saying, is grab the happiness of every moment.
My goal was really to make sure that I was spending the time and making the conscious choice to maximize every moment, not be treading water or waiting for real life to kick in or living what I called my placeholder life in any way, because I really felt like I needed to be committing to doing little things a little bit better that would have a big impact. It's interesting because, you know, the way that I think about health, I was 180 pounds when I hit 17, and I really wanted to... I tried every fad diet under the sun. None of them worked, obviously, because they make food taboo, and then it's the only thing you're thinking about. And I really wanted to commit to my healthy life, but still be able to enjoy the wonderful foods that I love. And I found that the only way I could do that and lose the weight that I was carrying around was to commit to what I call healthy, indulgent food. And I, for me, you know, you talk about the grilled cauliflower, roasted cauliflower and grilled cheese. So you put the cheese out, which I think is hysterical because, it still would be delicious because there's that yummy cauliflower and there's the jalapeno aioli and there's the rocket and every other thing, all the other stuff and caramelized onions. But for me, I would rather have the little bit of indulgent taste and sensation that makes me feel like I've indulged and I really enjoyed my meal, relished my meal, rather than feeling like I'm dieting all the time, where I feel like my focus becomes on the food then all day long, as opposed to enjoying my life and really maximizing this moment in the way that I want to make myself happy and healthy and be able to do more in the world because of that.
And so in the book, you not only talk about food and relishing that, but you talk about relishing the way you dress, and then relishing the way you interact with people, as well as the way you decorate. I want to get into the elements of a great party, if you don't mind, because I've watched several of the parties you've had, and they've been magnificent. So one of the things is the elements of a great party. Go ahead. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot to ask you to remember them in some order or something, but let me talk about the occasion and the guests.
Well, I think just to make it interesting for people, because there is a whole list in there of what I think goes into making a great party. But I think the biggest underlying feature of all those things like that you just mentioned, and relishing your life in all those different ways, and certainly having a great party as part of that, is I'm a big believer that the world sees you the way you see yourself. So reason I spend all this time talking about making a home that takes care of you, taking joy in getting dressed in the morning, making sure that's an easy process, because I know, having struggled with my weight, that there have been many, many years of my life where getting dressed has not been a fun process, and I go out into the world feeling insecure in a way that I should never. So the idea really is, as good a liar as you may think you are, people will immediately read if you feel insecure, unloved, out of whack, or sort of like lost in your life world. And the idea for this book really was about making sure that in every way possible, in all the different places that feed your life and your ability to feel self-esteem and very happy and secure, that you're taking care of those areas first and foremost, because you present that confident, happy presence to the world, and that's exactly how people will read and respond to you. And I think from the party perspective, the idea is, look, like, you can get great food together, and I have all those great recipes in the book to help you do just that. There's something to be said for creating a party atmosphere. I love candles for that. I love to do mismatched plates kind of in the same color palette, or nice paper plates if that's sort of more your jam. I like to do, there's everything in the book from a casual setup to a very formal, fancy setup that I think is probably a little bit more unreasonable for people at this point, because who has time? But the whole premise is that your guests will take their cues from you. So you can plan for perfection, but once guests start to arrive, commit to being a guest at your own party. Have a great time. Set that example, and everyone will take their lead from you.
That's the stress-free hostess, which I love, as
yes.
Well as there's a great section in here, which is why I call this the modern Martha Stewart, because there are simple ways to go fancy. There's flower power. There's just some absolutely wonderful tips that Nancy will be, my wife, will be using, because I'm bringing this book home to her, because it is so great a book. How to take a great picture. Party of 1, 2, or 12. So I love the fact that there's ideas for 1, 2, and 12 in here. Tell me your favorite recipe in here. Now, I've got it, since we're in Cleveland, before I leave, I've got to ask. Michael Simon, we consider him the full employment area for the Cleveland Clinic, because everything he cooks at all the restaurants, he has a number of restaurants in and around Cleveland, every one of them features bacon. And I don't think he has even a dessert without bacon on it. On the show, he comes over, though, with healthy vegetables.
Yeah, one of the things that I find most, delicious and wonderful about Michael's recipes in particular is, of course, he's known for his beautiful meat preparations, and he does love his bacon. We call him the Prince of Pork, which is great, because as a chef, his focus is first and foremost on taste and flavor, and he wants to be able to make sure that he's imparting as much of that as possible, and for him, that salty, fatty porkiness of bacon is a great way to elevate a dish. But what he always does is pairs that rich, fatty, meaty dish with a side that's this light, crisp vegetable salad or beautiful, vegetable and sort of citrus marinade preparation. He just is always thinking about what's going to be most pleasurable to the mouth. And for him, that really is the balance of have a small, high-quality portion of a really decadent meat, but then make sure that the bulk of your plate is coming around with this vegetable side that is, by the way, going to make the meat taste better because it's the perfect pairing. So I just love the way that he thinks about food in that way.
Well, we talked right through the tip of the week, so we aren't going to have a tip of the week for this half, for this hour. But the book is so good, we had to talk right through it. Relish by Daphne Oz. It's from HarperCollins, Morrow Division. You can also go to www.daphneoz.com to find out much more about all of what Daphne's talking about. That is style and relishing the moment. It's a great book, Daphne. Thank you very much. Joe?
Thank you both.
Thank you, guys. It's the You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.